You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant in the sector, and published author on influencer marketing strategy. And Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing-related shows. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this show just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. Now, today I'm talking with Duncan Stevens, who's a keynote speaker on influence, creativity, and innovation. He's also a mentalist, so this is going to be quite a fascinating show. In fact, there's a bit of participation involved in this, which I think you'll find very entertaining. But before I started having the conversation with Duncan, I wanted to just get a bit of a feel for where his journey has started. And this is what he had to say.
I spent a large part of my professional life as a mentalist, which is essentially an entertainer, not a magician, but kind of fuses a few little bit of magic, but with a fundamental underlying theme of influence and persuasion. As I was doing that, I did it obviously for big companies, Coca-Cola, Deloitte, et cetera, et cetera. And some of them would ask me, oh, how do you do this stuff? Can you come and share some of your techniques with us and some of our training team, sales teams? I dabbled in a little bit of that and then grew my keynote speaking business and then found that there was kind of a bit of a gap in the market for a book which essentially encourages people to think if they would be influenced the same way as they read an experiment. And last year I published Effective Influence to do just that. So yeah, I travel the world helping brands, companies, teams and leaders become more influential, more persuasive and inject some of my own creative pursuits in there as well. So that's in a nutshell, very big nutshell, but yeah.
Awesome, awesome. What would you describe as influence as a word?
You know, it's an interesting one. So influence is essentially conveying a set of values by example that affects opinions or actions and the behaviors of others. That's almost like one stock phrase, not a stock phrase, but the way I see it. However, you're a man who works in influence. If I was to ask you what is influence, it would be a different answer. If I asked somebody else, it'd be a different answer. So I could say that, but I think for everybody, there's a different way that they perceive influence. Some people may see influence as manipulative, the nasty kind. Others may see it as subtle. There's different ways of seeing influence and depending on how you are influenced yourself. So I don't think there's ever really one set phrase of what influence is, even though everybody wants to distill it down and say it is this or it's that, because we all have different personality traits. And of course, you and your listeners know the Ocean Big Five: openness, conscientiousness, agreeableness, etc., etc. And we're all influenced by different things and behaviors based on our own personality. So for different people, it's different things.
Yeah. And some people just don't want to be influenced. They don't like the idea of being influenced. They don't always like the idea of being a follower. And yet we are all followers in some description, aren't we? Our actions speak for themselves. So I guess I wanted to ask you, why are some people just influential and others just are not? To a degree.
To a degree, yeah. Why are some not and why some are? So you're right about influence. It's a transaction we're having all the time. You know, we're either being influenced or we are influencing. Why do some people have it and some people don't? It's the same as why some people are, let's say, really good at talking to people and others aren't. It's because they've nurtured that kind of element within them. Either they've been brought up having the ability to understand what influence is or even not. So for example, if I was just to take a very basic example, if somebody has been battered and bruised, hungry and cold through, let's call it, well, the pandemic, let's say somebody who is a salesman, but with little kind of finesse in their influence technique or strategy, they would try and sell them cookery courses. Whereas somebody who is genuinely good at influence would probably give them some food, give them a drink, put their arm around and keep them warm, and only then start understanding or take steps to understand what's next. So when in your mind you think about being influential and you make it a premeditative behavior, I think that's when people are either not or they are. It's almost counterintuitive, I think.
Yeah, and it's a really good point. It's a good point because I know the amount of people that say to me, oh, I want to be an influencer. But what do they really mean by that? Because so often they just want the goodies that they associate with what an influencer is, not necessarily the behavioral impact of making people feel warm and protected and feeling good about themselves. Because I think if you're genuinely influential, you know, people talk about you. So you've got to speak to Duncan. You've got to speak to Gordon. You know, he's a really good guy to know. That's the sort of influence we all want, isn't it? Where you're that go-to person without necessarily being an influencer. It's just the psychology of being a nice person, isn't it?
I think that's all it is. You know, if you take some of the top influencers in the world, and when I mean influencers, I don't mean Instagram influencers. I mean people who have really excelled at, let's say, selling things. Joe Girard was probably the perfect example. You're familiar with him, maybe. Joe Girard, Chevrolet salesman who sold more cars than anybody else. And the secrets to his success were simply he would send everybody a Christmas card. And once a month, you send him a card every month. He'd prioritize people who bought the card to give him a service ahead of everyone else. And he'd take his staff out for dinner. Like you said, it sounds a bit cliche and a bit twee. It's been a nice guy, but it really is. People want to work with people they know, like, and trust.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, those are the key words I talk about all the time. I mean, I've been around this and influencer space for a few years now, and I've been fascinated to see how individuals, regular folk, even on TikTok, have suddenly found their huge followings grow just because they're entertaining, just because they're engaging, just because they're inspirational. But in a way, they are all influential in their own way, in a different way to perhaps an Elon Musk is, or somebody that's a leader of an organization. Now, I know you train people a lot in sales environments and teams, don't you, around that? So, you know, what are the sorts of tricks that you are sharing with some of those people that perhaps they're missing?
I never think there's any tricks per se. There are, like you suggested, strategies and things. So if I was called upon by, let's say, a organization who's wanting to increase the influence ability of their leadership team, one of the things that people fail to see is that people are influenced by different things, as I said before. So if you are a leader or a manager, and if you don't have on your wall in your office a list of all of your staff, team, whoever they are, and what motivates them, what influenced them, you're kind of missing a kind of a big opportunity to influence. And because, let's say you wanted to reward one of your team members. Let's say John's going to get a £50 voucher. He might like that. But Susan, she might like to go and pick up her children from school, just let her leave 30 minutes early because she never gets to pick them up. So she would love that more. A bottle of bubbly for Tony might not be the same as a bottle of bubbly for Deborah because Deborah doesn't drink. As you know, I'm founder of the Influence Association, where we run some tests and things with our mailing list. And one of the experiments we did was ask questions to some people on our list as to what would they like from an incentive at their work. And so people obviously came back with a box of chocolates, a bottle of bubbly, some money, et cetera, leaving early. But the one thing that came back most and above everything else was a thank you note from their CEO.
I knew you'd say that. Yeah, it's a really interesting point, isn't it? Well done and thank you are the two most underutilized words in the English language, but have the greatest impact, actually, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's a trick? That's a trick, if you can call it a trick. But like you said earlier, it's not really a trick. Is being a nice person being a trick? I would say it is. It's just being what it is. And so if a leader has those on their wall and applies it, you know, you're already going to get more out of your team. And that's a simple influence strategy, I suppose.
I guess as well, you can have influential people within the teams, almost like ambassadors that are encouraging and whipping people up. Because influence can work both ways, of course. You can have great and good influence, but you can also have bad influence, as what we often call the bad apple syndrome. What happens when that happens, when you've got a gossiper or somebody literally sharing negative sentiment, it can unbalance a team, can't it? And therefore, you know, even a leader's influence can be dispelled by that. And how do you get around that?
If you've got, let's call it a bad apple, it's maybe an apple who isn't being incentivized enough or isn't enjoying their work enough. Why are they doing that? I think anytime you have something like that, it's looking at the underlying problem as opposed to the cause. So if you look at the underlying problem, why they're doing that, is it because they are unhappy in their job and they need some more motivation, or they're not getting the progression they need, which is an often probably one of the most common things that I experience. People aren't getting the progression that they want or they feel they deserve. And that's either because they're not qualified or they've not had the support to get them qualified. And because of that, that causes them to be a bad apple, as you say, so, or bring the morale down of the rest of the team, which then it's kind of pervasive into the rest of the organization. And before you have it, you've got to get someone like me or yourself on board to come and sort it all out.
Yeah, no, indeed, indeed. Well, I guess I've got to ask you this question of who influences you in your life. Is it somebody from the business world? Is it somebody in your family? I often talk about a circle of influence, and I'm often fascinated by who is going to be in that group of people. And so who influences you?
You're absolutely right. A circle of influence, having that group of people who influences you. And I think kind of you mentioned there, if you've got someone negative in your circle of influence, that's going to bring it into your negativity for you. So the people who in my circle of influence are potentially people who, they're not always within the field of influence, although I do draw sources from the kind of greats like Cialdini, and then, of course, looking at keynote speakers like Zig Ziglar and other people like that. But if I was to look into psychology and influence in terms of mentalism, I'd probably look at people like Darren Brown. And then another thing I would add into this kind of bigger sentence is when people are, let's say, trying to be creative or trying to be influenced, it's important not to draw influences from your own field. You can. But those who are the most creative or influential are focused on other areas, that they're not all about music or it's not all about art. It's just absorbing lots of other kind of different sources, I suppose. So, yeah, so that's kind of those people who influence me. But you know what? As you said earlier, we're constantly being influenced. And even though I might say I'm not being influenced by that person, I probably am, because I'm probably keep saying, oh, what are they doing?
I mean, if you look at the way that people scroll through their phones, I'm often wondered what makes them stop, what makes them like and share. You know, I mean, I was just saying to a colleague actually today, I've just become addicted to watching TikTok, not necessarily doing anything, but it's a time sucker. I mean, it really is. It's because it's interesting content and it's video. So you're not just getting static content. You're really getting sound, visual stimulus, which excites the brain. And it's almost like seeing the ultimate newspaper, isn't it? It's fascinating to me, this whole world of influence. So the other part of course, your world is not just around being a keynote speaker or influence, but also being a mentalist. So we're going to try something on me. How's that going to work then?
We can have a little go. So yeah, I do influence experience shows, which are shows in front of corporate audiences to demonstrate influence and persuasion, and then sometimes couple it up with the content as well. So I always like to start just with something just to get us warm. A deck of cards, most people affiliate or associate a deck of cards with magic. This is not magic. The reason I say that is because there's one playing card face down inside of here that I'm committed to. This just gets us warm. Now, when most guys are asked to think of a playing card, they think of the ace of spades. Girls or women go for the queen of hearts or seven of hearts. It can be one of those. It doesn't have to be. All I would say, it's not the king. There's one card face down inside of here. It's not a magic trick or anything like that. We've not set anything up beforehand. Do you want to go for reds or blacks, Gordon?
Blacks.
Spade or a club?
Spade.
So we're going down that route still?
Yes.
It's not an ace, is it?
No, it's not an ace. No, no, no.
What's the card? What's the number?
The number is the three of spades.
The three of spades, yes? be absolutely honest with your listeners or your audience. We've not spoken beforehand. We've not said anything.
Not at all, guys. Not at all. And I'm watching Duncan now, just for those that are listening. And he's got a box of cards that is closed completely. So he doesn't know anything about that.
And your listeners, if they are listening, they can jump over to the video. Office to see as well. So look, not only will you know that there's no sleight of hand, I'm also going to tell you it's in the bottom of the deck. It's face down, yes? So you know that there can be no sleight of hand or funny moves, yes? You said the three of spades, yes?
I did indeed.
But I take these out. I do it as slowly and as fairly as possible. That's obviously the four. I couldn't be slower. I want it to be as fair as possible. That's the card I mentioned face down. You'll see all the others face up. Would we agree that's completely fair?
Yes, absolutely.
That card again.
That better not be the three of spades. Oh dear, I love it. Goodness me.
So that, if you think about it, is 1 in 52. So let's do this. If we've got time, I might have to shuffle up here a bit. Hopefully the world is opening up a little bit. It's not the best, but we'll see that. So just for your listeners, I've got a little envelope on the screen which says our next destination. Our next destination, imagine for a second, later this year, you could go anywhere and do anything. Where would you love to go to?
Uganda.
Uganda. Pen. Uganda. Yeah. Make a note of these so we can recap it at the end as well. So we're off to Uganda.
Yeah.
Off to Uganda, and would you believe it, also in Uganda is somebody who you've always wanted to meet. Who's that one person who you've always wanted to meet?
George Benson.
And so the listeners are maybe of a younger ilk.
Honestly, he's an epic soul singer.
Epic soul singer, amazing. It'll be informative as well. How much do you think this trip to Uganda is going to cost us in pounds?
£2,000.
£2,000, perfect. And just so that your listeners do know that we have not set anything up beforehand, but I did ask you to search for something in Google beforehand, yes?
You did, yes.
So this is, I wanted you to do this because the final thing is you're off to Uganda, but there's something you've forgotten to take with you. Now, I don't want your listeners thinking I've hacked your phone or anything like that. So you can edit that thought. You can think of something new or you can stick with it. So this is the thing you've forgotten to take with you. What is it?
It's a historic painting.
A historic painting, okay? So these are your choices. All I've asked you to do is look for something in Google. Is that fair to say, yes?
That's correct, absolutely.
Yeah. I will recap this. So we're off to Uganda. We're meeting George Benson. It's going to cost £2,000, and it's a historic painting, yes?
That's correct.
These guys will be able to see this. I want to do this as slowly and as fairly as possible. So there's not any funny magic or anything like that. And let me get over here as well. Let me see if I can put this into focus for you.
Yeah, I can see that.
I want to do it as slow and as fair as possible. So in front of me, just so your listeners can hear, I've got a little piece of paper which says our next destination. Yeah, our next destination.
Yeah.
I put this. I believe it will be nice to visit Uganda.
I can't believe that is saying Uganda.
It will be nice to meet somebody new like Mr. George Benson.
What?
I then put, I think it will cost, how much was it again?
£2,000.
£2,000.
That's insane. And then
something that you search for in Google was a historic painting. I put this, do not forget to bring your historic.
Oh my God. How on earth did you do that when your hands were not anywhere near any writing implement or anything?
Well, this is the thing. Some people may say it's magic. It's not.
Oh, my God. That's insane. That really is. Well, I have to say, Duncan, it's been an absolute pleasure. And we will stay friends, I'm sure, for a way longer than just this half an hour podcast. Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, look me up on Duncan Stevens Influence on LinkedIn. But probably the best place to catch me is duncanstevens.com, my website. If they want to pick up a copy of my Effective Influence book, go to Amazon. So yeah, connect with me, say hello, or find me on Influence Association.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Don't forget to subscribe to this show and give me your feedback, gordon@gordonglenister.com, or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you're able to give us a 5-star review, then we really do appreciate it. And also, if you want help in creating an influencer marketing strategy, or you want to join the Influencer Marketing Roundtable weekly event, head over to gordonglenister.com, where you can find all about it. And if you want to find out more about our shows and others, go over to the Marketing Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.